On this episode of Not Your Average Lives, I am excited to bring to you a love coach, Junie Moon, and she has a cool job and she has a cool name. So doubly cool. But she teaches women in midlife how to magnetize their ideal partner and experience next level love. Isn't that cool? Next level love in midlife and later. I did experience that. So when I rekindled with my sweetheart. So she helps people find love using her unique heart-centered dating strategies, coupled with, of course, because mindset plays a big part in this, in your journey to find your soulmate. So yeah, she has tactics and those tools helped her magnetize the love of her own life. And I always say what your past sometimes teaches you what you need to teach other people. And that's what she does. She's an award-winning international speaker, best-selling author of Loving the Whole Package, Shed the Shame, and Live Life Out Loud. She's director, producer of the film Shed the Shame, and she has a podcast as well. Her podcast is Midlife Love Out Loud. And she also is certified in shadow working. So we talked about shadow working because I was like, what is shadow working? A lot of my audience might not know, and I wasn't even really sure, but it made total sense when she explained it. And I can't wait for you to meet her. She's high energy, kind of person I really like to talk to. And I think you'll love this. And if you're looking for love, she might be the person to help you. So let's get to the episode now.
Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. Today, I have my guest, Junie Moon. And Junie, we're going to have a fun conversation because, well, first of all, if you're seeing the video of this, she has hearts all behind her. And of course, being born on Valentine's Day, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love it. She is a love coach. And I don't think I've really had anybody who coaches helping people find relationships. I've had, like I mentioned before we recorded, I had somebody that was a sexpert. So this is going to be fun because you also have a really interesting backstory. So I can't wait to start the conversation. Junie, welcome. Can you just like start by saying who you are and what you do?
Sounds good. I'm so glad to be here. And I might have the hearts and you have the pink behind you. So there's a love theme going on.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm Junie Moon. And through my twists and turns of my life, I became a love coach to people starting over in love over 40. Doesn't mean I don't talk to people before 40, but overall, you know, there's something to be said about starting over in midlife and going, whoa, who am I now? What am I supposed to do? What is this online dating thing? And how is it possible that I can actually find love at this age? And so that is what I do. And it came out of my journey from having a really challenging love journey of my own. Yeah, I was in a 20-year marriage. There was a lot of good in the marriage. You know, sometimes I'm just like saying, oh, it was bad and it was this and it was that. Well, there were aspects that were really horrible, but there was a lot of love and there was a lot of good stuff. But at the end of the day, what was inside of me wasn't working. I hit 200 pounds about 19 years ago. And I was miserable. I hated how I looked. I hated how I felt. But the other thing was, I walked on eggshells with my husband. He was a bully. He was a spicy dude. And I was afraid to rock the boat. I was afraid to lose him because of some of the stuff I had experienced in the past. And I was afraid to have that energy come toward me. And so what happened was I micromanaged everything and I ate over it. And I thought I had a food problem and I crashed and burned. When I hit 200, I was just, I mean, I don't even know what I weighed, to be really honest. I stopped weighing myself at one point, but it was crushing. And
yeah, I believe it. I want to ask, was he a bully from the get-go and you just didn't notice it, or did it just get worse?
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of, sort of. I mean, I remember when I was 26, calling my mom on a payphone in Brooklyn, going, because he was towering over me and screaming in my face. I don't remember what it was about, but I remember being so scared. And then everything would go back to normal and everything would be fine. And yeah, so there was a pattern. And for whatever reason, and now I know, not for whatever reason, there were reasons I stayed. There were reasons I accepted that bad behavior. I had low self-esteem and I was terrified to be me. So something had to change.
Yeah. And you probably got married really young, because I think you had said, I saw in the show notes, you were 39 when you kind of decided enough of this.
Yeah. I think we got married at 31. Yeah. 31, 32. Okay. Yeah. We were together. Is that right? No. Yeah. I got married on 30.
Okay. So you dated him for a long time before you got married.
For a few years. I dated him for like 3+ years and then we got married.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it. So when did you make that decision that this was enough? You said 20 years.
That I was done. Yeah. A couple of years before the done part, I really had done so much work on myself, the body of work that I do now, which is called shadow work. I saw what I had lost access to. I saw the patterns. I saw the wiring that I'd picked up from our culture, from my parents, from every experience I had. And I got my voice back and I got my strength back. And bottom line is, I saw how unhealthy our relationship was. And I begged to get help. I said, please, let's get some support. I wasn't bailing on him because suddenly I woke up. I wanted him to wake up too. But he would just, again, be in my face going, if you think there's a problem, then you go to therapy. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I was done.
Yeah. Yeah. And I commend you for trying, and you know, ultimately you do what's right for you. Now, was there a lot of times there's like one memory of the switch that flipped? Like you said you realized you needed help. And so what was that moment?
Yeah, it was actually a really intense moment. We, at the time had a 12-year-old and, he was getting bullied at school, and then he'd come home and get bullied by his dad. And up until that point, I didn't have a voice and I was scared to get involved. In fact, he told me, leave that between me and him. You're not to get in between us in any way. You know, whatever he said, it was like, young lady, go to your room. That was kind of the message I got. And I did. And then I didn't. There was this moment, he came home from school and he was having a really rough day. And there was my 6-foot ex-husband leaning over, towering over my son, doing his thing. I see my son just dropping in and just wanting to just like check out. And I pulled up my sword. You know, I was like, wait a second. Enough. And I stood in between them. I literally stepped in front of my son, looked at my husband, and I just said, this stops right now. This stops right now. And he backed off and I knew it was done. There was no way we were going to spend any more time having this dynamic where my son was being bullied. And I mean, my son was begging for a divorce anyway, but I was too scared. And then I wasn't. And then I was like, for my son and for me, this is over. And that was the moment I moved forward and making it happen.
Well, thank goodness. And you saved your son's life there, because I'm sure he appreciated that. That's what a mom's job is, right? And sometimes it takes somebody else we're going to save somebody else before we'll save ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And he, you know, he has some very challenging things inside of him that he witnessed. And, you know, sadly, he saw a very weak mom for many years. Mm-hmm. And I had to come to terms with, I did the best I could. You know, I used to beat myself up for not standing up for him more, or, you know, going against the bully. But at the end of the day, I did the best I could. And then I got help and I changed and I grew and let go of 50 pounds, and I've kept it off all these years. You know, it's really an amazing journey. of
did you start with life. Thinking like, oh, I just need to lose the weight. It's the weight that's the problem.
Oh, totally. I thought I had a food problem, which I did, but I didn't realize it really wasn't a food problem. It was a self-esteem problem. It was a wiring problem. The thoughts between my ears dictated how my reality would be. And until I saw that and then changed it, I was, you know, up and down the scale many times. I did all the diets up and down the scale, 40, 50 pounds at a time, many times. But then it was more than the food. I did the inner work.
Yeah. And what is so interesting, and I want to talk about your second marriage, because finding love again, and a lot of times what I see is that we think, and I was guilty of this too, is in a bad marriage or not an unhappy marriage, put it that way. Cause like you, well, mine was a lot better than yours. He wasn't at all verbally abusive, but no passion. We just like live like brother and sister. And I just wanted more passion in my life. And so I mistook another partner as the passion I needed when it was really an internal, you know, fill me up with the work I'm meant to do type of passion.
Yeah.
But I did call up my old boyfriend and he happened to be available. And so that was like, that's my second love story, which ended up like really fulfilling a passionate aspect of me. But it, you know, as time goes, you know, you get out of the honeymoon phase and then you're back to like, okay, now what? But yeah, so I can totally relate that you're like looking for that love partner, and a lot of people, they are there, you know, they're what you say, you help people over 40. So I imagine you're getting a combination of people who maybe haven't gotten married and don't want to, you know, go the rest of their life without a partner. And then you've got people who have maybe had bad marriages, don't trust somebody, had a really bad experience, and just want to find something that is better. And I have a lot of clients who they just get dumped by their, and the spouse goes off to find somebody, you know, younger. And that's takes a hit, right? To your self-confidence.
And all of those things have a huge impact on how do we move forward? And will somebody want me at this age? All of those things really create a lot of inner dialogue that trips us up. I actually am not married a second time, but I do have an amazing partner. And we're, you know, I was hungry for attention. Like you were hungry for passion. We're hungry for what we didn't have. And a lot of times we go to the opposite end of the spectrum, or we think somebody is going to be better than the first person. And then we bring ourselves to the next relationship and find out that there are some things, patterns of behavior that rear its ugly head. And suddenly we're like, oh shit, here we are again. Here I am again in a relationship that's not working. So I'm helping people stop those patterns so that they really can have a partnership like I have.
Yeah. And sorry for assuming that you're married. And no, I love that. I love that about like where we are today in society, because in, you know, I lived in a time when I was younger that for my parents and other people of their age, divorce was a taboo. I mean, you did not get divorced. Oh, yeah. My parents were happily married, fortunately. So, but, and then, you know, in as I grew, you know, divorce is acceptable. And then now not getting married and just cohabitating is totally acceptable. And in there's other so countries, like styles. It's the thing to do. Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, he's actually never been married and he asks, do I want to get married at some point? To be really honest, I totally fine the way things are. I mean, I like parties. So there's a part of me that's like, well, if we have a ceremony, then we could have a party. But like, why? I don't see the why anymore for me. But there are so many, I mean, some of my clients are polyamorous. They have multiple partners. Some people just want to have fun. I mean, that's the beauty of our stage of life is really stopping and assessing who are we now and what do we really want at this stage of life? And it can really be so many different flavors. And I support whatever that flavor is, as long as it's coming from a conscious, clear place of, yes, this makes me happy. This is what I want.
Yeah. One example that I love of a long-term committed relationship and they're not married is Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell.
There you go.
Yeah. And that they say that they stay committed because they're not married.
Huh.
And and she is on Instagram and is a hoot to watch. Huh. So if anybody wants to
check her out, because I adore her.
My daughter said, Mom, you got to follow Goldie Hawn. She's so funny.
Thank you for that. I'll have to do that.
Yeah. So one of the things that I thought of that I'm curious about, and you probably find this with your clients who tend to pick the wrong men? What is your, you know, there's a pattern usually there of choosing, and it is probably many times like cultivated from the dynamic that you grew up in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact,
so it's hard to break.
Yes and no. I mean, it's hard to break if you don't have the right skill set, if you haven't done the work that gets beyond the conscious mind. You know, we're not aware of certain things that are happening inside of us. There's this blind spot or blind spots that we have. And unless you shine a light on those blind spots, you don't have access to the full picture, and you're acting out of shadow. You're acting out of the repressed feelings or the judgments. Like, you know, if your parents ever gave you a judgment about, you know, you need to have a man that looks like this, acts like this, and makes a certain amount of money, and that's been drilled into you, you might be really uncomfortable about noticing people that might be a really great fit for you. I'm really sucky at examples, but bottom line is that we're not aware of a lot of what's going on inside our unconscious realm. And that's 95% of our brain. And so we need to shine a light on what's working behind the scenes. Because if we don't, then we do find ourselves being attracted to the same kind of person. I fell down the same rabbit hole as my ex-husband. I ended up being with somebody I thought was just, oh my God, he's so great. He's so wonderful. This is exactly what I was looking for. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm down the rabbit hole again. He's a narcissist. He's only thinking of himself. I'm walking on eggshells again. How did this happen? I needed to stop and go deeper and pull out the final root of that weed that was old and festering and having me act in ways that didn't serve me.
Yeah. What did you find out?
Found out that's a pattern I don't want to do anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. You know, that's a big question, but what I found out was I really needed to come home to me and to get stronger boundaries and not be so scared of rocking the boat. I needed to know that fear is okay, and it's okay to express myself, even if it's uncomfortable. I learned communication skills. That's what I teach some of my clients on, how to have those difficult conversations so you feel you can express yourself honestly and be heard and actually get something to change and get your needs met. Yeah, I learned how to spot these people faster and cut faster. That's the other thing, is a lot of women come to me and say, I keep staying in these relationships way too long. What is that? And a lot of that is just fear of being alone, fear of being abandoned, fear of whatever. And so there were lots of things that I discovered, but the bottom line is by emptying out a lot of my beliefs, I was able to really say, you know what? My life matters. I'd rather be alone than with somebody that I'm uncomfortable with, or I can't speak up, you know, it just, yeah. So I emptied it out and I put a stake in the ground for my life.
Yeah. I like to use the like old luggage analogy, where it's like you have that old luggage that you got, I got some luggage from my grandparents when I was a kid for Christmas. It's like, you know, you still have that luggage in a furnished room, like in the basement, but you know, you're still carrying it around with you from house to house. It's time to open up, get rid of it,
purge it out. Yep. I always say we need to get rid of some of the baggage so you can get some new carry on. You don't need to be carrying all this luggage. Just bring a little carry on. That's all you need, you know?
Yeah. And that's heavy stuff, because we didn't have rollers back then. So you know, he's like, yeah. Yeah. So I want to hear about like how you met your current partner, because you had said before we started recording that there was like some kind of parallel paths that you never really met, but you kind of missed each other. And that So have you ever seen the movie Serendipity? I think it's called Serendipity.
I think so.
It's John with, Cusack? You have to watch it. It's John Cusack? It's old. Yes, yes, yes. Old, but it's
maybe
so,
I'll have to revisit.
So cool. It like,
I love him.
And I think I first saw it before I was split with my ex-husband. And I think that like put the little, that was probably one of the things that put a seed in my mind.
I'm
of,
sure
you
I
know,
saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of really cool. So anyways, yeah. So what happened? What like,
well, we met online, you know, I mean, I did the work, and when I realized I was ready and I felt really ready, I put myself online. I knew that, you know, how to do it now. And I knew my man picker was much better. And we had a 98% match rate on OkCupid, which is my favorite in this area.
I never heard of that one.
Spiritual Singles is awesome too. I like both of them, but OkCupid is where we met. And as I was reading through it, I saw some things that, you know, caught my eye, including he loved drum circles. I love drum circles. And then it was just quick. It was really quick. And before you knew it, like we were talking, then we exchanged. I looked him up. He gave me he came up when I called him. He came up on my cell phone. I forgot that his whole name came up, which meant he was connected to somebody in my contacts. That's something like that. So I then, of course, looked on Facebook and saw we had all these friends in common.
That's crazy.
And now I'm like, what's going on here? And so many people knew him and he knew so many people. And then the first date was 3 hours long. And what we found was, he was in a place, he was in multiple places that I was as well. And we just kept missing each other. And so we had a lot of similarities and, you know, it was time to meet now.
That's great. That's so cool. I love that. And the whole dating online thing, I totally would have done it. If my current husband, I always say current, like there's going to be another one. I think that my husband, my soulmate, my permanent guy.
He's going in the background.
You never know.
What?
Like
what? Current husband?
You never know. But anyways, never say never. Right. But anyways, he was available. And if he wasn't, I would have done the online dating thing. Cause I'm totally open to that. And
you know, it works.
I worked at America Online. So AOL, it's called AOL now, but I worked there. So I kind of am really comfortable with like the online thing, but my brother-in-law and sister-in-law met online. So they met on eHarmony and they lived like different places. So
it happened. She moved. I think the stat is like 60-70% people meet online. I mean, it's not like you can't meet people organically. I have. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's a great resource. And when you know how to use it and you know how to write your profile, you know what to look for, you could find really amazing quality dates and potentially a new partner.
Yeah. Oh, and I just thought of another funny thing. We had some good friends, my ex-husband and I, we had a good guy friend and he and his wife split up and he started the online dating thing. And then at the same time, I was on the board for a nonprofit. And so the executive director at my nonprofit messaged me one day and said, oh my gosh, my best friend is going on this date and I'm really afraid for her, but he said he knows you. And so it was like, crazy that like, there was this like third degree, kind of like what you were, there was mutual friends and stuff.
I have a dear friend that he was online when I was online and for lots of reasons, we never got together, but bottom line is we are very compatible. So we kept seeing each other online. So every once in a while, I'd be like, hey, hot stuff.
That's so funny. Okay. So I love what your whole story is such an example of what I like to tell people about our past experiences, good or bad, and oftentimes bad. If we can look at those as lessons and see what did I learn from this? That is now I have something. I went through that for a reason. And clearly you found a purpose through those experiences and that now you have a business that you built around it and that you're helping people. And I just think that is so, it's like when you think of a life and especially at midlife, when people are like, well, why am I here? Why haven't I ever really figured it out? And a lot of my clients are so focused on being a mom, like I was, they don't even come up for air until they get to midlife and like, whoa. And so I just love, you know, what was the whole process behind, okay, I'm super happy with myself now. And now I want to help other people. What was that turning point? And when did you realize that?
Yeah. You know, again, it was kind of twists and turns. Bottom line is my life changed when I discovered shadow work. My life changed. I lost the weight and kept it off. I felt stronger within myself and I was able to hold myself and find that spark inside of me. You know, I was able to raise that flame inside of me and really live a life that mattered to me. And because I love the work so much, I said, I'm taking this work on the road and I'm going to help as many people as I can. I wrote a book, I did a film, I did everything I could to really get shadow work on the map. And
can you explain what that is? Because I think some listeners might not
shadow
know
work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've had experiences And we've picked up messages along the way. Most of it has happened to lay that mapping, that foundation of belief systems early, early on. And so we have this, you know, between our ears, how to be, how not to be, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. And when we feel like there's a part of us that's not allowed to be seen, to be shared, we kind of say, okay, I better not be angry because angry people, you know, women, they're bitches. So I don't want to look like a bitch. So I'm going to be a people pleaser. Or, ooh, judgmental people or arrogant people. Ooh, you know, don't be like that young lady. That person is X, Y, and Z. And when we hear it from our parents, we're like, oh my gosh, I want to be a good girl. I want to be loved. I want to be fit. You know, I want to fit in. So what happens is we lose access to vital parts of our personality. And that's painful. And that energy has to move somewhere. So shadow work helps, like when you have a certified shadow work facilitator in the body of work that I do, we help people see things that they can't see, the blind spots, like my self-esteem, like, you know, who are you to speak up? You better not speak up because bad stuff will happen. That was my belief because of some of the things that happened in my life. And so suddenly I'm like, well, if I don't speak up, bad things are going to happen. And so with specially designed processes, you get to see the shadow, you get to understand it, and you get to shift, you get to heal, you get to empty it out and choose the way you want to be. It's not a heady process either. It's something inside that you get to experience something differently so that you are different and you get to be more fully who you are without all the gook you've picked up along the way. So yeah. Once I discovered shadow work, I was like, nobody knows about this. I'm bringing it out there. And that's what I did. And then after years of practicing with lots of different people, and I still practice with lots of different people, I found a group of people that I absolutely love to serve, which are women in midlife, mostly 50s and 60-year-olds that are thinking, oh my God, I don't want to spend the rest of my life alone. And I don't know how to do the dating scene. And I'm terrified. And who's going to love me in this body and blah, blah, blah. And so I have programs to help people feel empowered and strong and hopeful and be able to have dating tips and skills so that they can really magnetize a man that's worthy of them. I love what I do, but that's what happened was I found this body of work. It changed my life. I'm like, oh my God, I want to do this and share it with the world.
Yeah. I love too the, so what I'm thinking while you're going through that explanation is I'm big on, you know, showing up authentically, but I love your explanation because yeah, if you're not showing up authentically, you're hiding part of who you are because of these like past, that's in the shadows. And that is so clear to me. So clear to me.
Yeah. I mean, if you imagine going on a date, you're wearing a mask, he's wearing a mask. You're not seeing who you are. You're not sharing who you are and you're not seeing who he is. And guess what? 6 months down the line, the masks come off and it gets really messy. So we want to be able to be in control of that mask. We want to be able to be in control of how we show up consciously and not let that unconscious wiring have us be in our fear, acting in a way that really isn't in integrity with who we are.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so, so powerful. I love that. It made me have another thought too. And I'm trying to think now what that thought was. It'll come to me in a second. So, what other advice do you have for somebody who is at midlife and is lonely? Oh, I know what I was going to say. The list. So this is one thing that I never did. And if I was on my own now, I would definitely do it, but making sure that I had a clear vision of what I wanted, what was important to me, the values that I have that I would want my partner to have, because we kind of like don't make a list. And sometimes we think what we don't want, and then what we don't want is what we think about and it attract, you know, it's like, I don't
want
this.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. And so to like be real clear, mm-hmm. and maybe this is one of your tips, but real clear in your vision on paper, like vision board or whatever, don't just have a good looking man on your vision board, like qualities, like words you want, right?
Yeah. I call it the deal breakers and deal makers, but you really, you can't figure that out until you've really done the work to figure out who you are. Absolutely. You need to know what matters to you now. What is your value system? What makes you tick now? What is that? What's the kind of life that you want now? Because if you're an adventurous person and you want to travel all over the world and you don't want to be tied down to one place, and then you start dating somebody who has a 9-to-5 job and they can't leave, is that a fit? That's going to cause problems. So yes, making a list of your highlights. I mean, on the wall there, and I keep it up there, I have a letter that I wrote. And in real time, I have my clients do this too. It's like, and I share my love shows up for me and we do this and he's this and in real time. And I would read it and call that person in who I have now. So getting really clear, if you don't know where you're headed, you're not going to get there. Mm. And so I actually have, I have something on my website and you guys can pick it up for free. It's the Midlife Love Guide to Successful Dating. And that
I love
is
that.
Yeah.
We'll put that actually, in the show notes.
All right, cool. I'll make sure you get the link. It's at coachjunimoon.com. It's easy to get. It's right on the website page and it gives 7 tips. And one of the first ones is where you headed, what are your deal breakers, what are your deal makers, and how do you get there? You have to know. You have to know, otherwise you're driving blindly. You know, here's an example, and this is a good example. It's like wanting to go on a trip, and you go to a travel agency and you say, I want to go on a trip. And they say, where do you want to go? And you say, someplace warm. Where do you want to go? Someplace where there's a beach. Again, it's not really specific, but if you could say, I want to go to Florida to an all-inclusive resort on, you know, the West Coast, and I want to stay there for a week, and where there's live entertainment, like, can you find that faster than I just want to find a beach in warm weather? You could end up in a lot of different places. So
yeah, that's a great analogy description. So, and the other thing that I think is helpful too, which a lot of people forget, is they're just so needy. You know, it's just like, they're so focused on what they lack, what they don't have, how needy they are, that they can't have the life they want because they need this thing in it. And so since I do this abundance series on my podcast, and every week I do an episode on abundance, what came to mind for me is, if you can just like look around at how happy you are just where you are right now, mm-hmm. and then it's kind of releasing and detaching from that like high need that you have.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, if there's, look, I do help people with the dating tips and tools, but I always say that's secondary, you know, figuring out how to date well is the cart before the horse. I encourage the women and the women that find me and some great men to figure out and empty out so that they can feel great and full without a partner. Mm. We want to be able to come to that relationship full and not like, oh my God, I need this, because that's the setup. We want to be able to be whole. We are whole, but we have things that are getting in the way. And that's exactly right. Like, let us enjoy our life now. Let us feel the richness, the fullness, the blessings. And if we're feeling alone, if we're feeling like something's wrong with us, if we're feeling like we're missing out on something, that's work we need to do. It's not for our partner to fill in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought of something that was real clear in my mind, is that my ex-husband had an affair, and when I found out, you know, devastated, of course, the best weight loss program I ever had. I remember us going to dinner after like a week into it. And I said to him, I said, if you don't want to be with me, I can live with that, because, you know, we both deserve to be happy. And I would rather have you be happy with somebody else than unhappy with me.
Yeah.
And that next day he said, okay, I want to work on the marriage. And what was so interesting to me is it was like, I detached, I released, because like, I don't want a needy person.
Right.
We don't want needy people. No. That's the energy that you like put out there. And so like being content and being okay and like releasing is going to oftentimes attract.
And I think there's something different between being needy and being vulnerable, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Like with my partner, I'm always like, let me give to you, let me help you. And he has a challenge with receiving, you know, or asking for support. So potential vulnerability issue there. He doesn't want to look weak. Men don't want to look weak. And that's a shadow. Don't look weak, young man. You be strong and suck it up, right? So that's our society and our culture telling us to do that. And so to be able to be vulnerable and go, yes, I really do need some support, but not from a, oh my God, I need support, but because I can open up and lean in. Mm-hmm. So if we could embrace our vulnerability as a strength and not come from a place of weakness and neediness, it's a whole different story.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I think that's a great note to end on, unless you have one final word or words of wisdom on anybody who is feeling unloved.
Oh, there's so many, but I will just say never give up. Never give up. There's so many people out there, and your king or queen is looking for you. And if you want love, it's there for you. You just might need to empty out some of that luggage.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much. It was so fun getting to know you and
thank you
connecting, and we'll have to do it again in the future.
Awesome. You were amazing too. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.